sir.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
There we go. Headlines, 4 o'clock, of course, are brought to you by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420, baby, over at Buddy's. News from the Seahawks, Brady Henderson, ESPN.com, reporting the Seahawks agreeing to a one-year deal with guard Jordan Simmons to return to the Seahawks. Simmons started 6 games last year for the Seahawks. Again, Brady Henderson saying Jordan Simmons back in town with the Seahawks at the VMAC.
Lots and lots and lots of signings. Jags signing former 49er quarterback C.J. Beathard. Jets signing former 49er running back Tevin Coleman. Kyle Rudolph making official today, signing his 2-year, $14 million deal with the Giants. And former Chiefs Super Bowl hero Damian Williams, who took 2020 off to attend to his family during COVID, is signing with the Bears.
Who's C.J. Beathard? I'm not sure.
C.J. Beathard, sorry.
Oh, there you go. Making sure we're talking about the same guy here. T.Y. Hilton going back to the Colts. Let's see. Mariners, 6:40 tonight against the Cubs down there in Peoria.
Yay!
Only 5 games left to go before the opener against the Giants next Thursday. By the way, Mariners announcing today, Dick, that all 9,000 tickets for Thursday's game against the Giants next week are sold out.
Stanford star forward Oscar Da Silva headed to Europe to play for a pro team before entering his name in the summer's NBA draft, so he will no longer be a Cardinal.
Wow, really?
You don't say. You don't say.
Some folks thought he was the best player in the Pac-12 last year, for crying out loud. Let's see. NHL news. Firing referee Tim Orange Peel. And I made up the orange part, by the way. Tim Peel, after he was caught on a hot mic saying, quote, he wanted to get a effing penalty on Nashville early in the game, purposely calling a penalty on the Predators. NHL senior VP of hockey ops Colin Campbell saying, nothing is more important than ensuring the integrity of our game. Curtis, can you find that clip, by the way? Kevin may have, like, the edited version, and please find the edited version if you can.
You don't want to get in
trouble. I don't want to get the license taken away. Just do it, okay? But I mentioned this on Twitter today. I don't know a lot about this guy. This is the first day I've heard his name, Tim Peel. Apparently, he's a longtime NHL official, been around
for, I know,
for
his brother, Banana.
There you see? You see now? See what you can do when you go down the corny road? Pretty good, man. But, you know, we see referees, officials, umpires all the time in basketball, football, baseball, whether a guy trying to establish a certain strike zone, you know, of a game. Like, baseball players always say, hey, I don't care what the strike zone is as long as it's consistent from inning to inning. So whatever it's going to be, figure it out in the first inning. So umpires are always figuring out a strike zone. NBA referees are always deciding how much contact they're going to allow over the course of a basketball game. NFL referees always have to figure out how much hand fighting they'll put up with between corners and wide receivers and holding, all that stuff. So, you know, I don't know enough about this. That's why I asked Ian about it in Crosstalk. Was this a matter of a guy having a personal axe to grind against Nashville? Or was it a guy who was just trying to establish a certain rhythm of a hockey game, and that's why he wanted to call that penalty early in the first period?
Well, I think it's a fair question. I would just ask Tim Peel why he would do it so adamantly with, you know, an expletive when he just wants to establish balance in a game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess.
And you know, it does sound, when you use the expletive, when you say it like that, it does sound more like the latter of, I've got an axe to grind against Nashville and I want to stick it to them. That's certainly something you can't have in the game.
He probably swears a lot. I mean, I'm assuming he does. I mean, hockey players swear like sailors.
Right.
And officials swear like sailors. So I'm not surprised he dropped an F-bomb. And I don't know. I mean, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe there's some history there. We can talk to Everett about this, by the way, at 5:45 tonight and ask him, because it's become a little bit of a controversy around the NHL. Everett Fitzgerald, you, the voice of the Kraken, will join us at 5:45 tonight. But if you haven't heard the latest news over at UW, first it was Eric Stevenson.
Continues to get better.
Transferring. And then today, 247 Sports announcing that Marcus Sahonis is also going to enter the transfer portal, which I'm assuming that Quade Green's not going to come back next year, even though he can. I assume he's gone. Does that make Raekwon Battle your point guard for right now, heading in the next year? I mean, I'm assuming that the point guard for this team is not even on the roster
Nate
as of
Pryor.
Right now. Yeah, whatever. But Marcus Sahonis has taken off, and You know, look, I mean, like we said at 3 o'clock, man, Hop's back is against the wall in a lot of ways. And, you know, what's the number one most commonly talked about topic right now regarding Husky basketball in your mind?
Mike Hopkins.
Right. In his future.
Yes.
So any story like this comes out, it just adds to that fuel for sure.
And yet the problem is we are in a school with a fan base that doesn't really care and in a conference that doesn't really care. And that's not a recipe for sustained success. There would be schools...
Conference that care about what?
Doesn't really... There's not the outrage that there should be. You know what I'm saying?
About the Huskies not being good?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if this was, you pick your top 25 basketball program. If this was one of those programs, there would be a booster that would step up like they did at Auburn to get the football coach out.
How about Indiana? Archie Miller.
Exactly. I mean, that Indiana's one of those schools that is a top 25 program. And if there was the passion surrounding this program, he would be gone this year. But he's not. And I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. I can't tell somebody that that's a good idea to pay a coach $12 million to go away.
13.
But I'm just saying this is what would happen if it was some other school in some other part of the country.
Right.
But this is a school that does not have sustained basketball success other than a Harshman stretch and a Romar stretch. And this is a conference that doesn't have the passion for sports that some of the other conferences have, and they buy out their coaches when they don't do well.
Well, there's not many schools that have a fan base with super-duper passion for both. Michigan's one of them. Ohio State's one of them. I mean, who knows with the way Nate Oates is doing. Maybe Alabama ends up being that place down the road. But I just think that, you know, Washington football is Indiana basketball, and Washington basketball is Indiana football.
That's correct.
Right? So put the kind of like flip it around and say, okay, the Kentucky football team or the Indiana football team or the Duke football team, for example, right? Whatever. Would they be able to find a donor to write a check for $13 million to get that guy
fired? Probably not.
Probably not. So I totally get what you're talking about. If there was more enthusiasm, and I guess all it takes is one rich guy, right, to write that check. And there are plenty of dudes I know that are gigantic Husky basketball fans and live and die with this basketball team, and they're dying inside with what's happening on Montlake, but they're also not going to write a check for $13 million, you know? So I get it. It's a very difficult position for a lot of people to be in. You know, Mike Hopkins is fighting his own past from the last couple of years, and he's fighting the atmosphere around the program right now. And he's fighting the perception of the program right now, right? I mean, guys like you and I who are dog fans could go on the air and rah, 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 shish, kumbah. But if I ask you the same question I asked Jason Hamilton and Donald Watts, why will things be different next year? I think you would struggle to come up with a reason why they would be different next year.
Oh, there's no question about it. And I think when you look, I was trying to find some continuity in why these teams made the Sweet 16 that made the Sweet 16. And the one thing that you can find is they have coaches that have been there and done that for years. I mean, I can only find four of the 16 that have no significant NCAA tournament success, like Sweet 16 and beyond. All these other guys, man, there's like five Hall of Famers that are in the Sweet 16 now.
Yeah.
And you have a coach, and correct me if I'm wrong, the only coach in the Pac-12, and hell, maybe the only coach in Power 5 or Power 6 basketball that never had a head coaching job before he came here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these other guys went through the route of, I'm going to be an assistant at Cleveland State, and then I'm going to be the head coach at Ohio.
Altman was at Creighton. Is that correct? Before
Yes.
he went to Oregon? Yeah.
And all these guys have had experience elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike Hopkins had a tailor-made program thanks to Lorenzo Romar's recruits, and he won with them. And you know what? You got to give him some credit for winning with them, with those guys.
For sure.
And then after that, he's had his own guys and have had zero success.
Well, you want to see it work. I mean, I think it'd be great. It'd be incredible if he could turn this thing around, obviously. You think this is fun, for God's sakes? I mean, I'm watching the Sweet 16. I'm seeing two schools from the state south of you and one little 7,000-student nothing from 300 miles away, dominating college basketball right now. Mm-hmm. Meantime, we're sitting home watching Lorenzo Romar in the freaking CBI semifinal for Pepperdine last night. I mean, this is gross what's happening right now. There's only so long this will last, obviously. 414. Petros Papadakis is back on the radio show. Where's he been? You'll find out next right here on 950 KJR.
Podcasts.
It's time for our weekly conversation with college football analyst Petros Papadakis.
Not that I'm a smart guy, I'm stupid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys.
41 yards.
If you're hurt in an accident, call Sweet James right away at 800-500-5200. Sweet James will be sweet to you, but tough on insurance companies that will bully you.
Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Ushalom.
And now with Petros, here's Dave Softy Mueller.
Losers.
Yeah, baby, here we go. He's back. He is back with a brand new sponsor, a brand new attitude, brand new outlook on life. Here he is, returning to the radio program. His triumphant return to the radio show from the Petros and Money Show in L.A., courtesy of Sweet James Accident Attorneys. You need help in an accident? 800-500-5200. Our friend Petros Papadakis back on the program. Where the hell you been? Huh? Where you been?
Well, I was told not to come on until today, but I am very happy to be represented by the dense beard of justice, Sweet James Bergener, at 800-500-5200. Sweet James! From Seattle to California to Vegas, if you've been in an accident or if a dog has bitten your balls, do not trust the insurance company. Just call Sweet James at 800-500-5200.
Hi, Sophie,
and hello to Seattle.
I love it.
Yeah, baby.
Anybody out there been bitten in the balls by a dog, then call Sweet James. Well, here's the thing, and I'll be totally honest with everybody. People wondering where you are, what's going on, people threatening to, you know, have me fired if you don't come back on the radio show. I learned one thing in the last month or so, that it's really not me that people give a damn about. It's you on the program. They want their Petros. They're like crackheads, and they need their crack, and their crack is Petros. Get me my fix. I have to have my Petros every Wednesday at 420. And people go bananas when that doesn't happen. So I hope you realize how important you are to the well-being of certain people in our audience up here in Seattle, pal.
Don't take it lightly. And I think less is more when it comes to me. Once a week is probably a good thing. That's kind of like my dad on our show. Mm-hmm. But we did talk. You came on our show, and we talked about the elusive T-Man and some Seattle morning radio history while you were drinking, watching the beginning of the tournament the other day, the road to the Final Four. So we were able to catch up, and you'll be happy to know that Softy and I, unlike a lot of people that I know and work with, are constantly in communication and actually very friendly.
Yeah, well,
so everything's fine.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm glad that one of us feels that way, by the way, about our relationship. Kidding. I do love you, and we do talk off the air, and I just simply put, did not want you to work for free until we had a brand new sponsor. And we found a sponsor for you with our friend Sweet James down there in Southern California. So I just think in this day and age, especially a guy like you who, it's been well documented, has been struggling financially, professionally, and personally, getting you back on the air and getting you compensated to me was very important.
Well, a drug habit is a cheat, and I appreciate it.
There's been a lot going on since we last spoke. I mean, my God, the whole Russell Wilson saga. Holy crap. We haven't even talked about that at all. Well, it's over
now. Is it over?
It's over now. I guess it's like, you know, Matthew Broderick at the end of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's over. It's over. There's nothing left to see here. Go home. Or is it over? I mean, you tell me, man. You're an ex-player. If you had a teammate that through his agent mentioned names of teams he would like to play for, would that bother you in the locker room if you were a teammate of Russell Wilson's?
That would not. The other stuff would. I mean, the stuff that's rumored from years ago where he's I'm trying to move our physical peril out.
Your phone's breaking up, for crying out loud. This is one of the reasons why.
What? I'm sorry. Hello?
Pick up the damn handset. Are you on Bluetooth?
No, I have the handset.
Okay. Well, all right. Go ahead, because you gave us an incredible take that nobody heard because your freaking phone was breaking up.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right. Would you like me to continue about Russell Wilson, or are you going to have a technical hissy fit?
Hey, you're the one having the problem on your end, pal. It's 2021. Yes, go ahead. Continue with your take. Go ahead, please.
If we had done this on a more secure line earlier today, that line was not available because the internet and phone was down in my neighborhood. So this is all we got, brought to you by Sweet Jay at 800-500-5200. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready. We're all ready. All right. We're waiting.
You know, he would run around the locker room and tell everybody that they can't smoke weed and stuff, right?
No.
Well, that was a long time ago. I mean, it's a rumor, but it's pretty well documented in the football world. And when you're making a lot less money than the pretty boy quarterback, and somebody's turning your head into a canoe twice a day, you probably don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
That pissed me off as a teammate. If I'm Russell Wilson's teammate, and the thing we discussed about this, or maybe it was my radio show, I don't know. Mm-hmm. The legacy thing,
yes,
where he talked about people being worried about his legacy. None of those guys are playing for his legacy. They're playing for their own livelihood and their own living and their own legacy and the legacy of the team. It has nothing to do with Russell Wilson as an individual. I don't care how good he is. So those were the things, those two things, telling people not to smoke weed, which is a rumor,
yeah,
and the legacy talk, which is not a rumor. We heard it on Dan Patrick. Those two things I would find unsavory. Mm-hmm. Agent stuff and trying to get what you want to get out of a organization and get what you can get through your contract situation, I think that's somebody that all football players, top to bottom, understand.
Okay, wait a minute. Petros Papadakis with us, courtesy of Sweet James Accident Attorneys. Today on the radio show, Petros, Curtis Crabtree is filling in for our producer, Jackson Feltz. He is our Seahawk reporter, as a matter of fact, and he's with us right now. Curtis, did you ever hear that rumor that that Petros tossed out there that Russell was telling people not to smoke pot on the Seahawks roster?
I had not, but if he had, it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say.
I can mention that.
I mean, Petros, what do you think the reaction would be of a bunch of guys on the team if Russell Wilson walked up to him and said, hey, man, you shouldn't smoke marijuana? What do you think their reaction would have been?
Did you ever see the movie The Grifters, where the guy puts out his cigar on Angelica Houston's hand?
Oh, God. I got that vision in my head now of somebody doing that to Russell Wilson.
I mean, when you play football for work and you live in the A-gap, you know, nobody wants to hear that from Mr. Quarterback Guy.
Oh, my God. I mean, basically, the Urkel of NFL quarterbacks. That's not true. Where did you hear that from? What's your source?
I think you know it's true, and I don't think that you and your producer today are being truthful about what you've heard in the past. But that's just me.
God, that's funny. All right, Petros Papadakis with us.
Because it's true.
It is. It's very funny. It's very, very funny, and I would not doubt if it was true, but even if it's not true, it's still funny. What'd you make of the controversy with the women's basketball tournament, the weight room, and being compared to the men, and things aren't equal, and coaches are angry? I saw Don Staley was upset. Who's the coach at Notre Dame? Muffet McGraw was upset. I mean, you're an ex-college athlete. You know how much they do for those kids to placate them and make sure they're taken care of and treated like celebrities. But what do you make of the latest controversy involving the NCAA and their lack of equality with the men and the women?
Well, I heard about the controversy. We didn't really cover it intensely, and I wasn't aware that little Miss Muffet lost her tuffet over it. Long before the controversy, long before the pandemic, if I had told you that the men's tournament's going to have better facilities and more available for the men's players than the women's tournament, would that have raised your eyebrows?
No, not at all. Not at all. I would not have been shocked.
No, because the only thing that pushes for equality within college sports is Title IX. Mm-hmm. And Title IX is on the ropes. Not because equality is on the ropes, but because we're trying to get to a point where we can pay revenue sports in college. And that's men's basketball and football. And guess where Title IX goes if you want to do that? It no longer applies, because if Title IX applies, then that means you have to pay everybody on scholarship, and then that's no longer a workable model, in my opinion. So, I mean, a lot of these, sadly, maybe you can look at it that way, or you can smile upon it and say, many of these schools wouldn't have this team if it wasn't for the men's sport and football at said school that creates a situation where they need a women's basketball team to comply with Title IX. And they're in the tournament, and that's a great thing and a great memory. So there's a lot of ways to look at it, and like most things, I didn't see it on its face. I saw it as something a lot deeper and something just a lot more obvious. There's a lot more money involved in the men's basketball tournament, so the facilities are going to be more optimal.
Well, this is why I love our conversations. I love our chats, because you never know what direction they're going to go in. You mentioned the name, image, and likeness thing, which is inevitable. It's going to happen at some point. The only question is, when does it actually kick in? And, you know, I can just imagine, you know, a guy that owns a car dealership or a grocery store chain, or maybe a lawyer who doesn't really give a damn about who he's sponsoring. Like, they do these car coach things. I'm not sure what USC does, but coaches get cars, you know, a golf coach, right, soccer coach, whatever, and they assign a different dealership to provide this coach, man or woman, a car to drive for the year. And the dealerships don't really care who they're involved with. If they can get the head coach or the football team, then great. They just want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of the program. So can you imagine, you know, just some lawyer or grocery store operator or whatever saying, you know what, here's $50,000 for you to get this five-star guy. I don't even want to really be a part of it as far as a sponsor. Don't even care what you can do for me, really. I just want to be attached to this thing. Can you see that going down like that?
I can, but that unless the university is providing, like you talked about, the cars, you know, like Title IX doesn't apply to the image and likeness thing, because the image and likeness thing comes from outside the university. The university's not paying anybody anything. It's still, the university's still got a sweetheart deal with free labor putting together a team that is worth billions of dollars in television revenue over the years. So, that it doesn't solve that problem, and it doesn't really touch that problem. But the universities are still making money hand over fist on the backs of these players, and the image and likeness thing is not going to solve that problem, because you're only going to get the $50,000 car deal for the best, you know, for Jake Locker on the Washington team, or, you know, whoever is everybody's deity that year, Cody Pickett, you know, or somebody like that. And the rest of the guys on the team are very likely, you know, not going to get any part of that. And that doesn't solve any of our problems, because most of those guys are already probably going to have a career in the NFL or going to do okay anyway. So Title IX doesn't really touch that image and likeness thing. And I think a lot of people get it confused because it is confusing. And the NCAA has built a very confusing maze for all of us to try to navigate.
What about you? Would you have gotten some kind of a deal when you were at USC? Maybe like, you know,
yeah, I had a deal.
Greek restaurant.
My deal was
whatever.
Yeah, my deal was my dad made me work at the restaurant, and I barely made money because I would tip out so much because I was buying so many people bottles of wine and having like a party every night down there. And the university never got upset about it. The NCAA never reported it. Right. And my dad got free labor from a waiter who happened to be the captain of the USC football team.
Yeah, but you're
a great deal.
You're his kid, though. That's a different story. I mean, it's not like it was somebody else paying you, some other Greek guy. It was your dad. That's different, right?
He wasn't paying me.
So what? He's your dad. Yeah. He can do whatever he wants. You know what? You're lucky he didn't smack the crap out of you. How's that sound?
Well, you know, the days of USC when my dad played were the days of some guy, some Hollywood producer at Paramount hires O.J. Simpson to mow his lawn for $30,000 an hour. And, you know, seriously, and that's, you know, that's why they have regulations on what jobs you can have and being able to work as a student athlete. And that's what they're trying to avoid, you know, that kind of thing. But it gets kind of silly when you tell, like, the third-string right guard that he can't go home and work in a hardware store during the summer because he's on scholarship.
Did you ever take money or goods while you were at USC from anybody that was not a part of your family?
Well, you know, like if you were in a restaurant or something and somebody bought your dinner and left the restaurant, like what am I supposed to do? Like tackle them in the valet thing and, you know, take the old man's credit card out or something?
No,
like,
I'm saying, were you given anything because of your...
Well, I'm saying, you know, a couple people might have bought me a steak or two, you know?
Okay, yeah, well, you know...
Little lobster Thermidor.
Yeah, you're taking that to your grave. How does that make you feel? Some poor schmuck.
I don't really care.
Small D3 school can't even get a quarter of a scally, and you're getting free freaking Crab Louie from somebody.
Hey, look, I'm only going to use this lobster Thermidor for about, you know, 8 hours. Then you can have it.
Oh, Petros, we've missed you. We love you. It's great to have you back. Big thanks to Sweet James, accident attorneys. If you're injured in an accident or a dog has bitten your balls off, as Petros said, 800-500-5200 is the phone number. And you're actually endorsing them in Southern California. And you gave them the name Sweet James, I heard.
Yes, I did brand Sweet James as Sweet. And we've had a long-time relationship. In fact, I married Sweet James in one of his wedding ceremonies.
Wow.
And cut a cake with a samurai sword. So that's one way to get me out on New Year's Eve.
It was rough.
Also, a dog doesn't have to bite your balls for you to call. It could be the inner thigh, you know.
How's the knife?
Anything in the pelvic region.
How's the knife fetish thing going?
There's a knife I want from, like, I've only bought mostly knives from this one brand, and now I think I'm ready to branch out to a new knife brand.
Wow. What are we talking
called
about?
Called Bare Bones Living.
Ooh. Man.
Jeez. And they have, like, machetes and stuff.
You ever thought about seeing somebody for this, by the way?
Well, I see people for all kinds of things.
Have you brought this up?
What's wrong with having, look, I came into some money this year, not a lot, but enough to be able to buy myself 3 or 4 knives.
Ah, you got a stimmy.
And I've done so.
You got a stimmy? You got a stimulus check?
No. My wife inherited some money.
I know.
And I was able to buy 4 knives.
So with your father-in-law's fortune, you went out and bought some weapons. Nice. I like it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you keep the neighborhood safe.
But no, I haven't yet got a sword. I think that puts me in kind of like a Dungeons & Dragons kind of level that I don't want to be in. You know what I'm saying?
You're basically in the minor league category. You're like, you know, what was it? Inglourious Bastards. What was the name of the guy? The German guy that went rogue and started killing Nazis, and they recruited him to be a part of the Bastards. What the hell was his name? You've seen that movie, right? Inglourious Bastards?
Yeah, but I can't help
Hugo
you there.
Hugo Stiglitz. When they go and they break him out of prison, and he looks at him and he says, you know, your Nazi killing status is strictly amateur. We're here to see if you want to go pro. I think you're still an amateur, man. You want to go pro, go find yourself a sword, baby. Step up to the
big guys. Don't want to be like, you know, my elf has 20 hit points. Have you seen my sword? You know, that's not...
I don't even know what the hell that even means, but it sounds dangerous. Yeah. All right. Well, your phone's breaking up again, so this is great timing to get you the hell out of here. All right. We love
coyotes.
You. We're glad you're back on the show, and we'll talk in a week, man. See ya.
Raccoons and coyotes.
Bye. Petros Papadakis with us on the program, talking about God knows what. Anybody have a sword recommendation for Petros? I'm getting a little concerned about this guy. This is how this starts. You know, you're sitting at home, you're having a nice day, you pick up the newspaper, boom! There's the name of Petros Papadakis for unsavory reasons, and you tell yourself... it's not a surprise, because I remember hearing him on Softy's program back in the day talking about swords and knives and all kinds of debauchery. 441, textimonials 49451. Get him in now, the Coors Seltzer text line. What about the idea of Richard Sherman coming back here and mentoring some of these young Seahawk DBs? Marcus Trufant played that role for the Hawks in 2011-2012 to Richard Sherman. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock tonight right here on 950K.
Details. Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
All All right, good stuff from Petros Papadakis. Great to have him back on the radio show.
Who was on crack?
Apparently, Russell Wilson liked to run around the locker room telling people not to smoke dope, according to Petros. Curtis has never heard that. I've never heard that. You never heard that, but it doesn't mean we're wrong or he's wrong. So that's the kind of in-depth stuff you get Petros every Wednesday at 4:20 on the show. All right, big thanks to hammerandnail.build, the Coors Seltzer text line, 49451. Curtis, what do you got?
Didn't Sherm threaten to have a local reporter's credential removed?
Yeah, Jim Moore was his name. We talked about that today in the radio show. Jim Moore, who's a free agent radio man, available, by the way, if anybody wants to hire him, I'm sure he'd love to talk to you. Yeah, I mean, he was obviously wrong in the entire situation. Everybody saw what happened there, but would that prevent you from bringing the guy back? I would hope not.
No, I think he was just the texter's referring to when I was bringing up the differences. You know, you said, well, he was never a jerk to the media. Well, literal Larry on text, as I have.
That's fine.
I'm little Larry sometimes. He was a jerk to the media at times.
In general terms, he was not a jerk to the media. In general terms, everybody on that roster has been fine with the media. I mean, obviously some guys ruffled more feathers than others. Michael Bennett was one of them for sure. But, you know, look, man, I think Richard Sherman, Michael Bennett, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, I happen to think all those guys were great, but that's just me. What's next?
Why the double standard with Sherman versus RW? You're okay with all of Sherman's antics, want him back, but are so quick to criticize RW?
Who doesn't want Russell Wilson back? What are you talking about? When have we ever, or anybody on this radio show, ever said they don't want Russell Wilson back on the Seahawks? I think Russell Wilson's a complete cornball, but I love the guy. He's the greatest quarterback in franchise history. I think he was wrong for what he did and allowed this story to become what it was. But that doesn't mean I don't want the guy here. Are you kidding me?
Is that texter intimating that I never criticize Richard Sherman for his antics?
I think he's kidding me. Saying,
that's all I've done for 8 years.
I don't know if he's talking about you, me, or people in general, but if you think, pal, that nobody wants Russell Wilson back, just because you criticize somebody doesn't mean that you want to divorce them. Are you married? Do you have kids? Has your wife ever driven you crazy? Do your kids ever make you into a knucklehead mentally because they're going crazy at home? Yes. Does that mean you want to disown him and divorce your wife?
No.
Come on, man. All right. What's next?
Bring Sherman back? In a heartbeat. He's a perfect mentor for this young secondary.
Well, I'm curious to see what Marcus Trufant says about it next segment because, you know, look, I mean, some guys take that rule on begrudgingly. Other guys accept it and know where they are in their career, and I wonder what kind of guy Richard Sherman would be. I mean, Marcus Trufant, they drafted Richard Sherman in 2011. By 2012, Marcus Trufant was a backup, and he started four games that year, and they went to the playoffs, and I think Marcus Trufant was instrumental in helping to mold the player that Richard Sherman became.
Absolutely, and I don't remember Marcus Trufant ever having a problem with Richard Sherman taking over, right? I mean, I'm sure he didn't like to lose his job to Richard Sherman, but... You know, there was never an issue there.
Well, you remember he went to Denver, True did, the next year in training camp, and it didn't work out with the Broncos. So, obviously, he tried to play, but I absolutely think Richard can play that same role. We'll talk to Marcus about that in the next segment. All right, one more. Go ahead, hit it.
Petros is the best. I haven't even wanted to listen the past few Wednesdays. Thanks for coming through, sweet James.
Suck the Kraken's tentacle.
That's what I'm afraid of, though, right? That it's just all about Petros.
Yeah, so basically they're saying that they don't want to listen to the show unless Petros is on.
That's exactly what they're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no maybe. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, I don't like you two. You're idiots. But every Wednesday at 4:20 makes your show bearable, which is fine. We get you for one segment a week. It's better than nothing, right?
It's like the movie line, bleep you, you're cool, bleep you.
Yeah, exactly. From Christmas Vacation. Happy Hanukkah.
No, that's where he says, kiss my ass, kiss his ass.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss everyone's ass. Happy Hanukkah, blah, blah, blah. I just think it's great to have him back on the show, and I agree. Thank you very much to Sweet James for stepping up and footing his exorbitant talent fee.
Oh, yeah.
Which is insane and significant, by the way. Think a guy like that is cheap? Think again. $455. Marcus Trufant is going to join the radio show next on 950 KJ.